your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Emotional Freedom Techniques, EFT, is an experimental technique and is not meant to replace appropriate medical treatment or psychological and mental health counseling. The opinions expressed here are those of the host, Carol Look, and her guests.
Welcome to Attracting Abundance, the energy of success with your host, Carol Look. Now showing you how you can use your energy and vibrations to change your life for the better, here's your host, Carol Look.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Look of carollook.com, and my new website coming is attractingabundance.com. And I wanted to remind you that I'm teaching a Level 1 and Level 2 EFT course down in Hilton Head, South Carolina in December. And please go to www.nicabm.com for that information. And today is my last radio show for Attracting Abundance. And I thought, of course, who should my guest be but Gary Craig, the founder of EFT. So welcome back, Gary.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Gary's website, as most of you know, but those of you who are beginners, please sign on to www.emofree.com, where Gary has his free newsletter and wonderful new DVDs on serious illnesses and how to use EFT for that, and his basic course and the free manual and thousands of case studies now. So please check that out. So today, Gary, our topic, what we thought we'd talk about is really the art of delivery and refinements to the process, how the differences between sort of beginning practitioners and more advanced practitioners, and how people can help themselves really improve their success rate with EFT.
Sure.
Because as you always say, you could give this mechanical procedure to a 12-year-old and they would get someplace with some people. But the refinements really make the difference.
Sure, that's the difference between somebody who's really making this thing sing and somebody who's just doing it mechanically.
Yes, yes. So I thought we could start. We have many topics to cover: testing, gaining rapport, finding core issues, changing aspects. And I thought maybe we could start with changing aspects because it does seem to confuse beginning practitioners. And I thought we'd start talking there and see where it takes us.
Sure, sure. Aspect is one of the interesting things that happens for a newcomer. I mean, you know, when a client comes in, they usually state their issue is it's fairly global, like, you know, I've been abandoned or I have a poor self-image or something like that. And these all have different pieces to them. But then, even when somebody comes in with something fairly specific, like I have trauma from an automobile accident, for example, even those have different pieces, different aspects, and we'll deal with one and we'll think we're done, and all of a sudden the client says, no, 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 and they don't realize they switched aspects. They switched to some other little piece of it that wasn't there when we were first doing EFT.
Yes.
And the inexperienced EFTer will say, oh, well, this doesn't work, and so will the client. The experienced will say, ah, no, we shifted now. We shifted from this part of the accident, which we've already cleared, to that part of the accident, you know, and so on it goes.
Or emotions. What was perfect? I did this class this weekend, and someone, I believe the first feeling was grief and sadness, and
mm-hmm.
we got that from an 8 down to about a 2,
mm-hmm.
and then I said, now tune in, and how do you feel? And she started crying again, and it went all the way back up. And she said, I'm so mad at so-and-so. And I said, everyone, she has just changed aspects on us. This is fine. This is great to work with. But now go back to the grief. And she said, no, the grief is gone. You know, that's a 2 or a 1. But I'm so mad. And it was a perfect demonstration of how the aspects, you know, she went back up to at least an 8 on the anger. And the different feeling was a different aspect. And then we had something else to tap for.
That's right. And to her, unless somebody like you is coaching her and pointing these things out to her, she doesn't realize she made progress. She made great progress on the grief, but she switched now to anger because that's more prevalent for her. And chances are she doesn't realize the progress she's made, and she probably won't get over the entire incident until all these aspects are taken care of.
Right.
You know?
Right. And the anger almost couldn't come up until the grief was taken care of. For whatever reason in her system, the grief came out first.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And once, you know, the good news about the EFT is once you've reduced something, in her case, the grief, then the anger had some room to pop back up.
Yes.
And it's like, that's how we unpack it.
Yeah, it ends up, it's, it's a fairly subtle thing sometimes. I remember, gosh, this was several years ago, I was in Sacramento, and that's when I was teaching one of the first borrowing benefits courses. And at lunchtime, I was walking around the grass, the lawn out there, and there's one of the participants was eating lunch. And I said, well, how did you do, you know, the borrowing benefits? She says, oh, I went from a 9 to a 5. I thought, well, that's good. We did a lot of borrowing benefits. It should have been a 9 to a 0 or a 1 or something. But so I quizzed her. And come to find out, what she did is she went from a 9 to a 0 on her first aspect but didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. Another one came up. She reported, and that was a 5. And so she reports she went from a 9 to a 5, not from a 9 to a 0, to a new one at a 5. You see? Mm-hmm. And that's really important to recognize, because that one concept all by itself helps deliver one from the mechanical newbie to somebody who's really knowing how this thing works.
Right, and just tracking it and knowing when they've changed aspects, because stubbing your toe as many times as I have, I can really tell when they've switched an aspect on me. And as you say, whether it's a car accident or a trauma or a fear of flying, you know, someone says my fear of flying is a 10. Well, what part? Getting to the airport or taking off or the turbulence or the noise, or what part is an aspect? Or, you know, tell me all the aspects of this quote-unquote fear of flying.
And interesting enough, you may be able to tap on fear of flying and all of them just collapse at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But chances are these little pieces come up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So to be thorough, you've got to get them all.
Yes, and that moves us, let's talk a little bit before the break about testing. I know how strong you feel about it, but I'd love to hear you talk to our audience a little bit about the importance of testing.
Well, I think it's essential. And by background, before these newer techniques like EFT came along, where we actually are getting something materially done and done efficiently, you know, with psychotherapy, people were doing talk therapy and a lot of other things that really didn't get that much done. And so the therapist would often, using these less than efficient techniques, knew they weren't getting that much done, and so they would never test their work. Like, they would never ask a zinger question to see how well their work really worked, or never have the claustrophobic really go into a closet and lock the door, or other ways of testing, because they were afraid of triggering the client.
Yes.
Now, with these newer techniques, we take care of those things. Mm. And if we haven't, we need to know that, because we're not done. New aspects are coming up or something like that. And so we need to test and test frequently throughout the whole process. And the purpose is to try to trigger them. I mean, that's the whole purpose of it. We want to trigger them because we want to know that we're not done yet and where we're not done.
Right.
That's very important. Otherwise, I think we're doing the client a disservice by trying to pat things in place, getting it, okay, that seems all right for now, and then going, whew, you know, and
right,
leaving the session, you know.
Right, and they might feel okay in their mind. So they come in and say, I've got this a fear of, you know, I have a claustrophobia.
Yeah.
And in their office, they could actually probably get to an 8, 9, 10, even though they're not, you know, in a small space. And then you can tap and they can go all the way to a 0.
Yes.
But you haven't put them in a small space yet.
Yeah.
And the EFT master, Emma, down at the healing retreat, she took someone and put him in the back of a car out in the parking lot. And it was perfect because he felt okay in the room. He said, no, I know, that's probably okay. And she said, why don't we go for it? You've got a car here.
Yeah.
So I think that is critical. Do you have other examples of testing when it's confusing, or just to help our listeners think of how to do it? And
well,
I know you asked this. Zinger questions are very important.
Well, zinger questions always. I always try to recreate, if it's possible to do so, to recreate the problem right there, like locking the claustrophobic in the car. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. that would be one of them. You know, or having somebody smell something they couldn't ordinarily smell, or see a photo they couldn't ordinarily see, or see a snake they couldn't ordinarily see, or go to a pet store, you know,
mm-hmm.
and actually hold a snake and all of that, you know. So you want to test it as well as you can. But one of the things that I do a lot, and if you watch the videos carefully, our DVDs, you'll see me do this. I am forever trying to find some physical thing or something going on with them while I'm doing the session that I can always test against. Like somebody says, oh, I've got this little headache, you know. And so I'll be doing the tapping. I'll say, well, how's the headache? I first ask, what is it? Oh, it's maybe a six. You know, well, I keep on asking, how's the headache? How's the headache? How's the headache? Because I'm always testing how well we're doing as we go through this. Well, it's a five. Well, it's a three. Oh, now it's an eight. You know, and that's always information to me. So I'm always asking these questions. I'm testing along the way, you know, along the road as we're doing the process. Always feedback, you know.
Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned smell something, I believe it's on the ones I just watched, the serious diseases. There are several people who have high sensitivities to chemicals, and you have them bring something up on stage, and you could see them, you know, they couldn't even get near it. They could barely look at whatever the container is. Then they get closer, 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 and finally they can actually smell it. I think that's on the serious diseases.
Oh, yeah, we got a couple times. In one of them is perfume, and he takes the world's biggest whiff, you know, like that. And, ordinarily that would set her off for a long period of time with major reactions, and she got hardly anything. But what I'm doing there is I'm dealing with her emotional issues. That particular gal was dealing with cancer, diabetes, chronic fatigue syndrome, all kinds of things, you know. And so I'm dealing with the emotional issues, and I'm testing by seeing how well she's doing on being able to smell things because of this link between emotional and physical ailments.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want someone to go out and say, well, the headache's better for now. You really want to check in. You don't want to say, well, I could probably handle someone's perfume. You really, as you say, it's a shame. It's really doing the client a disservice to not put it in their face, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah, if you've got it and you can do it, yeah. Now, you got to be careful.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because if somebody got a major reaction to something, you got to sneak up on it. That's what I did with the gal, you know, on those DVDs you were talking about.
Yeah.
So you bring it a little closer and you take it away and you ask them how they're doing and that kind of stuff, and then you let them, when they think they're ready, grab the thing and take a big whiff, you know.
Yeah.
But it's up to them all the way, but tiptoe into it. Don't just go tap, 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 and then throw perfume on them.
Right. Exactly. Don't flood them or overwhelm them.
Sure.
But testing, I think, is so important. I think I got it across in my class this weekend, just telling people you want to do it, you need to do it, and you owe it to the client to do it.
Sure.
So, all right, everyone, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Gary Craig, EFT founder of www.emofree.com. We'll be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you are tired of not having enough money, time, love, or success, the exciting new ebook, Attracting Abundance with EFT, is for you. This book combines the simplicity of emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, and the fun of abundance games with the power of the law of attraction to help you increase your financial abundance. You can also incorporate EFT into your life to help control other issues, such as weight management and your love life. EFT will transform any issues that have been blocking your emotional happiness or physical health. For more information on these hugely beneficial programs, please visit www.carollook.com. Once again, that's www.carollook.com. Change your life today. www.carollook.com.
Hey, Dad.
What?
Can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The pressures to be thin or ideal go beyond the Hollywood headlines. In fact, those suffering from eating disorders in the U.S. number in the millions, and eating disorders such as anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating are more common than Alzheimer's disease. Eating disorders affect men, women, adolescents, as well as young children. On Understanding Eating Disorders, Dr. Tom Scales, an internist and psychiatrist, uncovers the causes and characteristics of various eating disorders and shares his expertise on current treatment approaches. Expert guests and personal stories from some who have recovered reveal the depth of emotional conflicts of these dangerously obsessive conditions and the resolutions that work. Tune in to Understanding Eating Disorders with Dr. Tom Scales every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Understanding eating disorders, the cycle of eating disorders can be broken.
Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with noted American Buddhist teacher, Pema Chodron. In this inspiring workshop, we learn the spiritual teachings that guide Pema in her daily life and how they are relevant for all of us today. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. We want you to be a part of the program, so call in now, toll free at 1-866-472-5792. Now back to Attracting Abundance, here's Carol Look.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is my last and final show of Attracting Abundance. I've had a wonderful time interviewing people and just love the show, but it's time to move on. So I appreciate Voice America and what they've done to help get this show out there. And my guest today is Gary Craig, EFT founder. Many of you know his website, I hope already, www.emofree.com. And please remember, I will be doing a level 1 and 2 class for EFT down in Hilton Head, South Carolina, through the NICABOM conference, www.nicabm.com, and that's in the first week of December. Welcome back, Gary.
Okay.
We are talking about refinements to the EFT process, really what makes the difference between a mediocre session and a complete success. And we were just talking about testing and changing aspects and how important both of those are to recognize. And then I thought we would talk about finding core issues, how to find them, what to do when we don't think we've hit the core issue, and why essentially it's important, why we need to find core issues for our clients.
Well, that's one of the main things that will separate, you know, those who do it mechanically from those who are masters. Because oftentimes, people will have either a physical or emotional issue, or emotional response of some kind or other, and it seems like the cause is one thing, but if we keep tapping on that and we're only making just modest headway or no headway, or we make a little headway that comes back, and we're just not getting that far, chances are there's another issue, and it's usually something further back in the past, a core issue, a really important issue that needs to be addressed and taken apart. And it's often lost to the client because it's, to them it's often just so routine they never thought it was a core issue. I mean, that's where it takes real detective work, you know, to get to it. I will say a lot of times, though, that you'll be dealing with a client and the core, you know, with a question or two, the core issue just shows up pretty quickly, you know. But other times you'll just simply be tapping on you know, superficial issues, and bingo, all of a sudden a memory shows up that they'd even forgotten, and you have a core issue. But beyond that, we need to start asking some questions. One of my favorite ones is we're talking about something, I will say, well, what does that remind you of?
Right.
And that's probably one of my very favorite questions. I have two of them, that and the question of how do you know that? But what does that remind you of? They'll go back in time and they'll say, well, I remember the time when my mother did whatever, okay, or I was in the classroom and so-and-so happened, you know. And sometimes it doesn't seem like that's the real issue at all. That is, it doesn't seem related.
Right.
But you get at it, and so, boy, I tell you, oftentimes there's just a wellspring there. You've really hit the target.
What I found, that happens a lot with anxiety when someone comes in with what appears to be a recent event that has caused them anxiety. So maybe they're anticipating a professional meeting that makes them anxious. And when I say, what does it remind you of, I can't tell you how many times they've said, I feel trapped. And then that reminds them of a very early relationship or an early issue where they were trapped psychologically, psychically, you know, or physically trapped in something. But they have no idea to put it together because it hasn't actually bothered them. They don't have their first anxiety attack until they're 32 and at a business meeting, and they say, well, how in God's name is that connected to being trapped between my parents in the divorce?
Yeah, and oftentimes people will point to this current event, I tend to call it, the presentation you're talking about, this anxiety-producing mm-hmm. presentation. But they're not really anxious about the presentation. It sure seems that way, because they're going to stand in front of all these people and make this presentation, you know. But what's really going on oftentimes is the time when they were told by their teacher or their parents or something like that, they just don't match up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or there's something wrong with them, or this kind of thing. And of course, when you stand in front of an audience, and you have those kind of things kicking around in your system, that's going to trigger it big time.
Right.
But see, the presentation in this example is the trigger. It's not the problem. The problem, mm-hmm. it's a symptom rather, not the problem. The problem is way, way back. That's what you have. That's the core issue that you have to collapse. You collapse that, and you collapse all kinds of things.
Right. And is your sign, when you work with people, is one of the signs that you haven't found the core issue that they're only making mediocre progress? Like, is that a good tip for beginning therapists?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good tip. See, one of the nice things about EFT is it works so well, so often, with such a high percentage results. When it's not working, you've got to look around and say, you don't say, well, it doesn't work. You want to say, why doesn't it work?
Right.
What am I not seeing yet? Where's the real issue here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So what does it remind you of is your favorite? And then how do you know? Give us an example of when you might use how do you know.
Well, how do you know is actually more of a testing question.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will say, well, I'm a on a scale of 0 to 10 on this particular issue, I'm a 4. And I'll say, mm-hmm. well, how do you know that? And
mm-hmm.
and oftentimes they'll tell me, well, because my heart's pounding a little bit, or I feel a little sweaty, or my stomach is tight, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that how do you know then leads me to something I can keep using as a barometer for my testing.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to core issues, another favorite question I have, which often brings you to something that is really important, is this question. If you could live your life over again, what person or event would you just as soon skip, you know?
I love that one.
And almost everybody has their person or event, if not a half a dozen or more.
I was going to say, they usually have several.
Yeah. But those, what they come up with may or may not be the core issue,
mm-hmm.
but I'll tell you, they are certainly doorways into core issues, and you can explore those with great results often.
Well, you get into the right ballpark anyway. So if they say, you know, I'd rather not go through that incident in high school again, or I wish my father hadn't done what he did, then at least you're getting to a theme, you know, the less than or inadequate, or he told me I was no good, and then you're fishing in the right pond anyway.
Sure, yes, of course.
So that makes a big difference. What else happens if someone hasn't found the core issue? They sometimes make progress, but it comes back, or is that more for you about another issue?
Well, that's part of experience here. When it
mm-hmm.
comes back, that could be another aspect, couldn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
It could be a core issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nice thing about EFT is you can adopt either one of those stances
mm-hmm.
And approach it accordingly. If you're wrong, it only took you a few minutes to find out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you go back to the other door.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be either one,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. How about some examples, some case examples from your your files of the difference between finding the surface issue and the core issue?
Well, one that comes to mind is on our serious diseases one, and that has this fellow Steve with the Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
As you recall, Steve was very badly compromised, sitting in a wheelchair, couldn't move his limbs very well. It was very difficult to hear him speak or make talk or anything like that. So I had him write down what he thought might be core issues, you know, on a little typewriter that he had before he ever came to that workshop. And he had a list, I don't know, there were a dozen of them or so, on a couple of pieces of paper. And he couldn't communicate well. So this is really difficult when you want to get to a core issue,
mm-hmm.
Because you've got to be able to communicate somehow. And but he had this list, and so I held the list up and I said, point to one that sticks out for you most is a very important event. And what he did is he pointed to one of them, just pointed to the paragraph,
mm-hmm.
and starts crying.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if you haven't seen our Serious Diseases, I mean, you must see it, and you must watch Steve. He will take you through the most anguishing lows and the most excruciatingly beautiful highs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the smile he had, the anguish, everything. He was just a delightful, delightful man. But that was a creative way, you know, to get to... to get to a core issue.
Yes, an excellent way. And that's, I think maybe, I know I don't do it very much where I have to, I don't ask people to write down what they think their core issues might be ahead of time, but that's great pre-homework before someone comes in for the session.
Sure. I'm thinking of another one, Carol. This was, I did this one in Costa Mesa, another one of our Serious Diseases. This gal had a brain injury, and she was very sensitive to light and very sensitive to sound and that kind of thing. And, so we were working with those sensitivities. Presumably something was wrong with the brain, okay? But as we did that, I kept listening to her, and she kept talking about school. Now, you know, she went to a Catholic school, and she didn't do very well there, and some of the nuns, I guess, were pretty strict. And so she didn't like that experience at all. That would seem to have nothing to do with the fact that she hit her head.
Hmm.
And had a brain injury that was causing all these other problems. But I kept after that because, in this case, my intuition said, there's something about that. And she would talk about having a difficult time at work concentrating. And I finally put together, this is just intuition, just you'll find this sometimes more experience you have. But it seemed to me, my intuition said to me, well, there's something about her work and school that is contributing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made this parallel between all the paperwork on her desk and the fact that they were deadlines. You know, they all represented things she had to do, just like schoolwork, just like homework, papers on her desk, etc. And she all of a sudden went, bingo, oh, I've got that. My life is all like school, which I hated.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we collapsed that, interestingly enough, this brain injury and all the inability to see or experience light and sound and movement and all that kind of stuff collapsed.
Wow.
All that had nothing to do with the brain injury. To me, the brain injury, this is just my way of looking at it, the brain injury was just like a weak place in the body where emotions will tend to show up.
Yes.
I don't know how scientific that is. That's just my experience, okay? And once we collapse, you know, that really important core issue, the brain injury didn't seem to have any problems with her anymore.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like so many people who just have, I think the weak spot is true. Someone that has they'll say, I've got it, my tummy's my weak area, my skin is my weak area, my back goes out when I'm under stress.
Yeah.
Most people will be able to tell you where their stress, quote unquote, comes out in their body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important. I was thinking also, we're about to go to break, so in our next segment we'll talk a little bit more about intuition, but I loved on the tapes also how you helped this woman who thought it was her fault that someone had a heart attack, how you led her through that and showed her that she had been holding this as a core issue, I think for 40 years, maybe. Do you remember that one where she lied and her mother was mad at the cook because she blamed the cook for stealing something?
Oh,
and the guy had a heart attack?
Yes, I remember that. Now, was that on our DVDs?
That's on the Serious Diseases because it's a new one for me and I just watched it. It's on the Serious Diseases.
Okay.
And it was so perfect how she had been holding on to that as a core issue but didn't quite... it's almost like it wasn't a repressed memory.
That's
there was
right.
Nothing hidden.
That's right.
But she said, no, it was my, you know, at 5 years old, I lied to my mother and he had a heart attack. And a 5-year-old's brain would think that.
Yes.
That it's her fault.
And therefore she caused it.
Yes.
So on,
exactly. All right, everyone, we're going to a break, but we'll be right back with Gary Craig, EFT founder, www.emofree.com. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you are tired of not having enough money, time, love, or success, the exciting new ebook, Attracting Abundance with EFT, is for you. This book combines the simplicity of emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, and the fun of abundance games with the power of the law of attraction to help you increase your financial abundance. You can also incorporate EFT into your life to help control other issues, such as weight management and your love life. EFT will transform any issues that have been blocking your emotional happiness or physical health. For more information on these hugely beneficial programs, please visit www.carollook.com. Once again, that's www.carollook.com. Change your life today. www.carollook.com. Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice.
What if something happens? Will you come get me? Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. We want you to be a part of the program, so call in now, toll free at 1-866-472-5792. Now back to Attracting Abundance, here's Carol Look.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Look for my final show of Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success, which I have totally enjoyed. And the archives are on my website, so you can find them there, all the shows with all the interviews with energy medicine practitioners and EFT masters. And my website is carollook.com, and a new website coming soon is attractingabundance.com. And I'm here with EFT founder Gary Craig. Welcome back.
Thanks.
Could not be more grateful for you and your work that started this whole movement, which I'm thrilled with. We are talking about refinements to the EFT process, and we mentioned in the last segment a little bit about intuition. I just thought we'd go there for a little bit because people are always asking, how do you develop it? How do you trust it? How do you know when to say something, when not to? And I thought you could speak a little bit about that.
Well, It's been my view that everyone has the same intuition, or I think it was you that said in our more recent workshop here that we all have access to the same source. Is that the way you put it?
That's the way I would put it, whether I was the one who said it, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
And I think the difference is, well, back up a second, people will come up to me sometimes, they'll watch me on stage, they'll watch me in the films and say, oh, you have such great intuition, they will say to me. And built into that comment is, I have it, Gary has it, but they don't. Or I have better intuition than they have. And I think that's a limit for people, and I'd like to have people get rid of that. Because the difference here, I don't think, is one has better intuition than somebody else. It's a matter of trusting the intuition that you have. It's a matter of using it, relying upon it, acting upon it, etc. And that's a form of like practice. Mm-hmm. And after a while, you get more and more trusted. You get better and better at it. After, one of the things I said in the steps for becoming the ultimate therapist, which is one of our DVD sets, was that one way to start at this is to guess. I mean, you're sitting there in front of your client, and so you start guessing at what core issues might be, for example. And you start asking questions and saying things according to those guesses. Now, oftentimes, your intuition is resident within those guesses.
Yes.
But it's difficult at first for you to be able to pull out which of this is true guidance and which of it is just a normal chatter that goes on in your head.
Yes.
How are you going to separate those two out? But what you do is you listen and then you act on it. And you're guessing, but after a while, you'll find some of your guesses are right on point, and you had no other way to know that other than just your intuitive hit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right in the middle of something that was really big and really important to do. And then you say, wow, you know, my intuition counted that time. Then you keep trying, and after a while, your intuition seems to show up a little better and better. You get more and more trust in it. And now, it's not that you have any better intuition, you're just trusting it better, and you're using it better. You know,
right.
Most people just leave their intuition on the shelf.
Right. Exactly. And I said, when several people asked me in front of the class this weekend about it, I said, my work changed completely when I wasn't afraid to be wrong anymore.
Yes.
Because how I offer it, or how I launch the balloon, you know, I say, you know, I'm not saying it as a fact. I'm asking, or I'm, you know, suggesting this might be it, or I'm asking if this is what's going on. And the client can say to me, you know, not even close. And that's okay for me now, and didn't used to be.
I'll give you an example. There's ways to kind of tiptoe into this so you don't look too stupid, you know.
Yes.
And one of those is what I call the garbage and the gold. It's kind of a pre-frame I give to people. I say, I'm just going to start rambling here.
Mm-hmm.
And most of this may seem like garbage to you. Maybe it is garbage. I don't know. But I'm trying to look for guidance. And all we care about is the one little nugget of gold that may come out.
Yes.
And that's worth all the garbage. Well, as it turns out, most of it isn't garbage. You know, but anyway, that gives me reason to have, it gives me an excuse to have the garbage.
Okay. Yes.
And so I've found that to be a really important way to pre-frame that.
And practice, as you said, you've had years and years, and now I have too, of practicing floating these balloons over and saying, what about this? What about this?
Yeah.
What about this aspect of it?
A good example of that, Carol, which occurred in this last Denver workshop that we did, I mentioned the example where I was talking with a lady, and I kept getting this hit of a sister. The word sister kept coming to me, and I didn't know... I said, how come I keep getting the term sister showing up? I said, what is it about your sister? And she said, I don't know. I don't even have a sister.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of shrugged my shoulder, but it still was an intuitive hit. I let it be. We let the session unfold for a while, and as it turns out, she had in her past a major issue with a nun. Sister so-and-so, you know. And so there it was on point, even though I got the wrong hit on what sister meant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
but
in the beginning,
pay attention to it. And you can ask the question, why do I keep getting this notion of whatever sister, whatever the blank may be? And that's a good way to schmooze into it. If they say nothing, you're at a dead end. Well, okay, you didn't lose much, but if they say, well, oh, hey, let me tell you, that's right on point because, and now you're into it, you know.
That's a great question. I also think the practice is so important. You know, people, you know, want to do it exactly the way you do it. Well, they can't yet because of the years of experience in the thousands of cases and watching the hours and hours of incredible cases on the DVDs. Really helped me. Yes, I've been doing hours of work, and I've been doing, you know, client after client and workshop after workshop, and it just grows and grows. But I've also watched you and other practitioners for hours taking, not chances is too strong of a word, but trying their intuition, asking questions in the right way. You know, suppose, you know, this seems to be coming up for me. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah,
you know, and I just think it's a... You know, again, I think the DVDs are exceptional. What you do with people is just just floors me, continues to. But you can also watch you in, you know, as you're doing EFT over and over again. You just, we learn, we're humans, and we learn by watching. We learn by modeling. you know, sometimes people tease me and say, hey, you sound just like Gary. Well, yeah, when you've watched 75 hours of DVDs of Gary, you start to sound and look and do some hand movements like him.
Well, interesting enough, I modeled, you know, a lot of what I do just after listening to other people.
Right.
And
right.
So when you watch me work, what you're really seeing is a compositive, all the stuff that I've learned before I ever walked on stage,
right.
What I've learned since, and how I put all that together with my own little stamp on it,
right.
You know? So,
right.
And we're always learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're always learning.
Let's go a little bit to gaining rapport, the importance of that, and if we don't finish before the break, we'll certainly come back and talk about it. But I know how important it is, and I know how much you emphasize it, gaining
mm-hmm.
rapport with your client. What could you tell us about that?
Well, first of all, interesting enough, you don't even have to have rapport with a lot of clients if you're doing EFT mechanically, just so long as they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are their headache will go away or get improved or some bothersome memory will no longer be a problem and so on, okay? But if you really want to do this masterfully, you've got to have that client in your corner. They have to trust you, and all that's all having to do with rapport, the connection between people. When you want to look for core issues, it's going to be tougher to find core issues if they don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that all has to do with rapport. And there's a lot of mechanical ways, of course, to get rapport. If you studied NLP, you know you know that the idea of matching somebody's physiology, sitting the same way they sit, for example,
mm-hmm.
using their phraseology, using their tone of voice, using their tempo, using their gestures, that kind of thing,
right.
Tends to enter their world, so to speak, and so that all adds to rapport. I found, while all of that is important to understand, I found one of the real parts of rapport is you really care.
Yes.
You just simply care. And when you do, a lot of these other things just start to fall in place, you know,
right.
And the rapport occurs. I pointed out at our Denver workshop something that you were doing, which was an automatic rapport thing. Do you remember that?
Yes. And then I couldn't stop doing it.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. One of the other masters was talking on a topic with Sophia, as I recall, Sophia Kerr. And as she was talking, Carol was nodding her head yes in agreement. Just
mm-hmm.
yes, you're nodding your head yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And even though Sophia doesn't may or may not see it, she can still sense it.
Yes.
And this is a great way for rapport. So when you're talking to a client, one of the easiest ways in the world is to nod your head yes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you trying to say something to me and me nodding my head yes. I'm sort of with you. I'm in your world. But what would happen if I nodded my head no?
Right, while I was talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it breaks rapport instantly. So you can see the difference. Right there, you know.
Right.
Rapport is very useful. It is critical many times, especially in very challenging cases. You've got to have rapport with a client if you're really going to get them on the same side and work together to get to these important issues, you know.
Yes, and I said to people, what I like to say in the workshops is if you don't know how to listen, you know, you lose 50% of your chances to have a good client in a success case. You
mm-hmm.
must hear what they're saying behind their story, because then you've got your statements for tapping.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so wonderful about deep listening and rapport building that way.
Sure.
All right, everyone, we are going to our final break here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Please check Gary's website if you haven't already gotten the Serious Diseases DVDs, www.emofree.com, and we'll be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
If you are tired of not having enough money, time, love, or success, the exciting new ebook, Attracting Abundance with EFT, is for you. This book combines the simplicity of emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, and the fun of abundance games with the power of the law of attraction to help you increase your financial abundance. You can also incorporate EFT into your life to help control other issues, such as weight management and your love life. EFT will transform any issues that have been blocking your emotional happiness or physical health. For more information on these hugely beneficial programs, please visit www.carollook.com. Once again, that's www.carollook.com. Change your life today. www.carollook.com.
Omega Institute is the country's leading center for holistic studies. Now you can experience selected workshops from Omega in the comfort of your own home. Join us for a live web broadcast with John Friend, the founder of Anasara Yoga. In this dynamic workshop, we learn a Hatha Yoga system that is a celebration of the heart and looks for the good in all people and all things. To find out more about our live web broadcast, log on to our website, www.eomega.org. That's www.eomega.org. Or call us at 800-944-1001. That's 800-944-1001.
To perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Loke. We want you to be a part of the program, so call in now, toll free at 1-866-472-5792. Now back to Attracting Abundance, here's Carol Loke.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Carol Loke for the final segment of my final show on Voice America. I've really enjoyed it, and you can find all the archives on my website, carolloke.com, and listen to the shows with all the experts. Gary's on several times. Many of the EFT masters and other energy medicine practitioners are on talking about different angles of how to use EFT for a variety of problems and challenges, and they're just very informative interviews. So I hope you, those of you who need to catch up, I hope you do. And I hope some of you join me in Hilton Head, South Carolina in December for a Level 1 and Level 2 EFT course. Welcome back. My guest, of course, is Gary Craig, EFT founder. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we've been talking about the DVDs, his new DVDs, and you can find them at www.emofree.com. And Gary, we did a whole show one time on different doors for healing, going through different doors, but
sure.
I thought we would just talk a little bit about that and how important that is. For, again, the difference between a beginning practitioner and someone who could then improve their success rate.
Sure. The whole idea of the going in different doors is a way to make it simpler and easier for the therapist to deliver EFT when they realize that, gee, I can just go in a door here. When my intuition tells me to, we ought to go this direction. So we go in the door. You tell the clients you're going in a door.
Mm-hmm.
You may or may not find it fruitful.
Right.
You can, with EFT, you can find out in minutes whether you're really getting someplace or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're in that door for a few minutes. You're not in there for weeks or months or years worth of therapy session before you finally figure, oh, that wasn't too good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can come out and you go in another door. It's an interesting, useful metaphor. And I've found that often. I can go in someplace, strike out, come back in. Oh, now we got something going here. And
mm-hmm.
I just go in this door for an hour, you know, and we get a whole bunch done, you know. And even those doors have little doors within them, and it's just
mm-hmm.
a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
It's very helpful, very helpful.
Well, it's great because then someone feels like they can keep going. They don't feel stuck. I mean,
yeah.
When I learned that, I was like, oh, good, you know, pain control. I can do the symptom. I can go to the emotional issues. I can go to the conflict. I can go to the... Yes, but there are so many doors.
Yeah, and they're endless, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
different ways to go into it.
But you had some case studies you wanted to talk about from the diseases?
Well, yeah, there was one in particular I thought would be good, and it was a door we went in with a gal that we worked with in Bellevue. Her name was Pamela, and she was dealing with hepatitis C, which, by the way, is from my perusal of the Internet and all the, you know, the medical websites, is not really curable. There's a drug called interferon, which is supposed to amp up the immune system or something like that. And Pamela, which may help, but Pamela had a drastic reaction and couldn't use it. So here she had hepatitis C, and her main symptom was waves of tiredness. But she also had very severe vaginal problems, you know, cracking, peeling, itching, you know, and it was just an ongoing difficult thing. We had it for over over a year. Now, what's interesting about this is I didn't know anything about hepatitis C, and I happened to call a physician before I met with her on stage, and the physician said, well, hepatitis C has to do with the liver, and so check out something where she may be, where maybe she doesn't feel clean.
Because the liver is our organ that cleanses us. And
yes, yeah, right. Thanks for the clarification. That's true. And so, as I talk with her, I learned that in younger years she had had, you know, a serious sexual abuse issue. And of course that can leave you feeling not clean, couldn't it? And we could also point to the idea. This is my intuition is not only taking what the doctor said, but some other things as well, putting this together for core issues. But we could also see where the vaginal problems could be related to such an event. So I spent most of that time in the door on that sexual issue, and we collapse it.
Rather than the symptoms. In other words, you didn't, I can't remember, I was there, it was 2 years ago.
Oh, I did a little bit on the symptoms.
Symptoms is
I didn't do anything on the symptoms of this hepatitis C.
Okay.
But just on the vaginal stuff. You know, even though this itches and even though something, you know, whatever. But as a result, at that workshop, her waves of tiredness went away. I checked out with her a year later. She's had no hepatitis C symptoms whatsoever, no waves of tiredness.
No symptoms since then?
Wow. No, none, zero. And the vaginal issue disappeared at the workshop and never came back.
Wow.
You know, all that from going to one, finding one core issue, you know.
You know you got to it.
Yeah, because you got the result. Now, if I wasn't getting the result, then I'd back up and I'd say, well, okay, we got partway home. We've got some things done, but not others. There's another door we need to go into here. Let's look for it. Let's find out what it might be. Let's try this one. Let's try that one.
I was doing some pain control up on the stage with a number of people, and it was so interesting how several of them came up with some grief about their mother and how it turned out to be lodged, quote unquote, in their neck and their back.
Sure.
And once they were able to say, so it took a couple of rounds to find out, oh, this is your core, and then someone says, hey, what she said, that's my issue, which is what's so wonderful about doing it in a large group.
Yes.
And once they could talk about the grief, it's almost as if they never felt allowed to speak about the grief. And once they did, they were so surprised. I love watching their faces. They kind of move their shoulder around and look at me like, "What? You know, why is this working? You know, I came to an EFT workshop for 3 days, but I'm not sure why it's working."
Are you a witch or something?
Yeah, right. It's so much, so much fun. But I've seen you do some pain control sessions too that are just wonderful, where you go through the door of the symptom, so the headache or the pain or they can't move their arm very far. And watch that collapse just so much, and then get to your favorite questions. You know, if there were an event or person that you would just as soon skip, what would it be? And boom, then it changes altogether. Do you have another case history just to share briefly in our last few minutes?
Oh, I'm just sitting here. I'm looking at lots of them to remind me of.
And the Borrowing Benefits DVDs, can I just say a little bit about those? It is an exceptional series, everyone, where Gary goes through these cases, and it doesn't matter what the subject is. What you do is you tap with the person after you've identified your issue, and sure enough, it will go down. Even though you're using different words, you're watching Gary and these other people on stage, and you can collapse your own issues when you tune in and the directions are there. Every few minutes, it tells you exactly what to do. It really is foolproof. So that's an excellent set, the Borrowing Benefits set, as well as the diseases.
I would point out it's close to foolproof.
Yes,
where
sorry.
It falls short of foolproof is people will get these and not follow instructions.
Yes, okay. Good point.
The instructions are very clear, very easy, but people tend to want to stretch it some and do more with it and do different things with it and so on, and they wonder, you know. But those who follow it and follow it well, the specific events it works with, they collapse. We get close to 100% if it's done right.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But as far as other cases here, I'm looking look at this. This is an interesting, a very interesting case. It was something I'd never even heard of before. It's called hypermobility. Do you know what hypermobility is?
No, but I could guess.
I think you were there when I was working with this fellow, the same one that Steve was at. This was the young man who...
Oh, yes.
who's, it was like the opposite of arthritis. Like instead of the joints being stiff, they were too loose.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right, right.
And it caused him a lot of problems. And I'd never heard of this before.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a young fellow. I was early 30s, as I recall it. His name was Michael. And he had the hardest time recognizing that emotional issues were behind this, because this seems so physical to him.
And the doctors all said so, right?
Oh,
they
sure.
would give him the diagnosis or the x-rays.
Yeah, and he talked about being 5 years old. I think he shakes hands with his uncle or something. You know, he's a little five-year-old, his big uncle shakes hands and somehow dislocates his shoulder or his elbow or something like that.
Right.
That was his first sign of this. You know, and to him, that's all physical. Everything is all physical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to presume that.
Yes.
You know. But we dealt with his emotional issues, and that's all we dealt with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as we did, he was able, I mean, his various pains and his various being too flexible and stuff just started subsiding over and, you know, over and over. To watch this, and he just, all of us, he finally got the idea that his emotions were aggravating his hypermobility. Now, whether they caused it or not, I don't know, but by addressing the emotional issues, we certainly improved it majorly, you know?
Yes. And what I said to people, what I like to in workshops, I always say, it doesn't matter what the x-ray says. What matters is that your emotions before, during, or after the diagnosis will contribute to the diagnosis.
I remember talking, and this was in you were there in Stanford as well,
yes.
with a Dr. Larry Burke.
Yes.
And he was a physician. And we were talking about, you know, genetic things and stuff like that, and that gets passed down. Maybe that's why some people have their diseases and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, well, don't people also, families also pass down beliefs?
Yes.
And, of course, they do.
Yes.
Religious beliefs, things you should do, shouldn't do, can do, can't do, whether you're a good person, bad person, you know, whether you sin, all that stuff, you know. And you start passing that stuff down. I put that together with Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Beliefs, which is really shifting the whole medical paradigm as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And we start seeing that beliefs, hence emotions, are a major contributor, and in many cases the contributor to physical diseases.
And beliefs, my work is all about limiting beliefs now.
Mm-hmm.
And EFT collapses them and neutralizes them absolutely beautifully. Everyone, there's our closing music. So thank you, those of you who've been listening for months and months, a year and a half. I've totally enjoyed it. I thank Gary Craig for coming on the show as my final guest. Gary, of course, the perfect guest to have.
My extreme pleasure.
Okay. And everyone, the archives of the shows will be on carollook.com forever for you to keep listening in and learning from. Thank you to everyone.
We hope you enjoyed Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Be sure to come back next Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for another hour of Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.